Wait, the work on Green Hill Star has been finished yet?
To be honest, I was away from that area now for almost 3 months now, David. So I haven't been in that area for a little while.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not in my area for a while. I'll be back home probably on Sunday, though.
Oh, you've been living abroad?
No, I'm still in Barbados, but I was away. Since Christmas Eve, I was away from home.
What?
Having a long vacation and bare friend day with
that. That sounds like something that we should be investigating.
Maybe next time you go to that particular place, that's the person there will tell you exactly where I am.
Wesley could tell me?
Not Wesley, the particular place that you know.
Okay, all right.
They will tell you where I am.
All right. Wherever you are, you sound contented, though. All right, you go now. You don't answer that. You got to hear this one. Huh? This one really takes the cake, Dennis. He said people need to put their faith in God and just live. We are all here only for a time. We will die one day. We were born to die. So... In that context, therefore, why worry about the coronavirus or any other virus? I suppose this person may also say, why take precautions anyhow? Just do what you gotta do, live. Down to brass tacks.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis. How you doing?
I'm well.
I believe you heard the number one president of the world saying that the virus can just disappear.
He said he wanted a miracle. He expected a miracle. I think that's what I heard, that it will require a miracle to solve it. Yes. Well, you know, a miracle or America.
I believe he meant America. He's something else, though. Ms. Ellis, you heard the program yesterday?
Yeah, I heard you talking yesterday.
I don't deal with me. Don't deal with me, period. We would talk another time. You heard a letter was read about somebody that can work in government and they can work at 7 o'clock and they got work, the out and gone and that sort of thing. You feel that thing should be... I know for a fact that it goes on, but you feel that thing should be still going on, saying we under so much pressure?
Well, that obviously is... it's a management issue. If a person is able to function like that, that means that the manager, it is being done most likely in complicity with whoever the manager or supervisor is.
You don't feel that the union, a responsible union here, what's going on, can call meetings and talk to the workers? All they'll be doing now, if whoever fire them now, that they will hear now that there's a strike for this body and a strike for the next body. To be honest, I think people should be responsible. You got a 7:30 to 4:30 job, man. Do your work, now.
Yeah.
On weekends, you can do your outside work.
Well, I just want to say to you that sometimes there's a lot more to it than meets the eye. More in the mortar than the pestle. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you find people working like that, there's a lot of job dissatisfaction as well. You know, it isn't just the money, but they don't feel comfortable enough going to work. In that particular
place. If you don't feel comfortable going to work, where do you sign home?
No, it's not that easy. You want the money. So if you want the money, then you're going to go to work. You feel uncomfortable. You spend some time and then you try to escape from it. So the answer to the problem may well lie in trying to get to the bottom of what it is that is causing the worker to feel that way.
But what I'm saying is that all they're doing...
It's not a one-way street. It's not a one-way street.
Depriving people that would give an honest day's...
Yeah, but you are only looking at it from...
They're working.
But you're not prepared to ask the question why. And the question why is relevant.
I accept that. I accept your point that the question is relevant. But sometimes they like just to listen to things that people say on these programs and just shake my head.
But I want to tell you, you know, when you sit here, you learn.
Of course, you learn.
People can also come and give you only one side of a story.
True.
And if you are so stupid to just take that and swallow it and come to a conclusion and go after somebody, then you can be made to look like a fool.
Yeah, true. So that is why a friend of mine made me look like a fool, but I always do laughing at myself out there.
All right.
But
the question why?
Huh?
The question why is always important. Anyhow, we got to move on. Thank you very much.
Hello.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Well, it's an afternoon. Yeah, it's 11:47.
Okay.
Yes,
good morning, Mr. David Ellis. How are you?
Good morning, Miss P. I'm well. And you?
I am doing very well. I spoke to my Dennis Johnson. Now I'm speaking to you. So you know I'm doing well.
Yes,
you know, I've known you as old guys for quite a while, you know. It's almost 18 years.
Is that so?
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost 18 years.
It feels like it only yesterday.
Not to me.
It feels that long to you?
No, you feel like brothers to me. I mean, I communicate with you more often than I think I do most of my family.
Yeah, so yeah. What's on your mind today?
This has been bothering me for the last 2 weeks because I think it should have got more play and the public should have been aware of it, and I am quite concerned about what occurred on board a flight headed to Barbados. I'm not going to give the name of the airline. I will not give the name of the passenger. But I will tell you exactly how I feel about it. Now, on board that airline, a Barbadian, a young female who happens to be a Muslim, was verbally and physically assaulted by another passenger. The Nation reported part of the passenger's story, but not the full story. To me, when you verbally abuse someone, that ain't no big thing. But when you put your hands on another human being, to me, that is assault. And when that plane arrived, since the stewardess knew there was a confrontation between these two people on the plane, and it was over the tourist in the back refused to allow the passenger in the front to pull back her seat so she could relax. He stopped her, and it's not that once happened to me on a flight. But the passenger, when I told him about it, it didn't have to go to the stewardess. It was taken care of right away. He did desist from doing what he was doing so I could release my chair and lean backwards. That was not the case with this lady. When that plane landed, even though she was removed and given another seat, that tourist should have been questioned by police, and she should have been able to file a complaint against them before he was allowed to leave that airport. You know, we talk about the way that Bajans treat Bajans. Well, this is a classic example. She's a Bajan, born in this country, and has yet to receive any satisfaction about what occurred to her on board. I'm going to give the name. Can I? Of
yes.
The airline?
The airline, yeah.
The Virgin Atlantic.
And this allegedly occurred on what specific date?
It was on the 1st of February, 2020.
The position of the police, the local police on the matter would have been what?
They claimed it was out of their jurisdiction. But David, if a person had gone into the bathroom and a man pushed in and attempted to sexually assault them, would they have treated this case in the same way?
That's an interesting question. Thanks for raising it. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks. Quite a lot of conversation today about the coronavirus. Here is this observation that all the information that is being disseminated about it speaks to the testing, prevention by avoiding contact, hand washing, etc. Nothing about treatment other than working on a vaccine that's likely to take a year or more. So again, the question has to be asked, are we putting too much on the line in relation to the cruise ship? Just too much unknown. The truth is, we really don't know. Does it not seem as though the world has been thrown into an unintended game of global Russian roulette with this virus? And a very significant point needs to be made about this whole issue of ships and companies taking responsibility. They don't take responsibility for acts of nature. And unless you can prove conclusively, and I know that we have a lot of conspiracy theorists out there who will tell you which country started the virus and for what reason, unless you are able to prove that conclusively, then this concept, what they call it, force majeure, that concept is one that they are going to employ. So that's the difficulty of getting companies to go and just cancel trips just like that. And, you know, there's so much involved in terms of costs and the loss of revenue and all of that. So it makes interesting work for lawyers, people who can get behind the scenes and go to court and deal with these matters. But it costs you more to pay the lawyer than to what you pay for the trip. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello, good morning, sir. But
yeah.
Sorry, I don't want to...
It's good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
It's afternoon.
Mr. David Ellis.
Yes, sir.
First, I beg you for your help. You know why I believe you is the greatest? Because what you just said is going to strengthen my point. They say the corona, you know, you should wash your hand and sanitize and all these things. Mr. Ellis, from this morning from 6 o'clock, I went at the standpoint, the same standpoint that people used to call to get locked off and shut down, and get water for people, all the people. A lady with aunt, she lose her foot. As far as we said, no, here for about 5 hours and watch your water truck passing through. Set. If you know St. Lucie, you have to pass through mostly people, the trucks coming down from the roundabout and going down to Chuck Hall. Now, I ain't say it, but I don't know if it keep going on there. It could be going to a big business down there. But people here waiting. I hear a lady calling from this morning 4 or 5 hours ago. They can't get no water, sir. But think about it, man. This is ridiculous. People saying no waiting for a truck like you're begging. I know some people are going to work today, so that Belgians lazy and they beg to differ. People going, you know where they have to go work today, too? Today is Friday, sir. And you can't afford people going to work, folk taking a shower. I beg you, sir.
You mean today is payday?
Exactly. That's my point. But yeah, they bring, you got the corona thing in St. Lucie. That's all you're going to take care of. Man, this is not good, man. You can't wash your hand. People are coming back for a cup of water to wash the hand. So if you are saying that, you know, these are things you go out to keep your hand clean and stuff. People came up use a barrier. People saying that them go. It's so gross to talk about, sir. That them use the bathroom, so you know, once a flush the toilet, ain't gonna flush again. And if people living in the house, man, come on, man. If somebody use the bathroom and they flush it, ain't gonna flush again. So if another person gonna use it, and somebody won't use it again, you know what gonna happen? But yeah, we can see the trucks passing down here all the time. Mr. Dallas, find out where they're going, man.
I think
a smart way, you know. Think about what he's saying. I was told there's a big company down here below Chuck Hall. Find out where the truck is going to Chuck Hall so all the time it can't come up in the neighborhoods.
All right. Thank you very much. This person says that, whereas I fully understand the implications, financial and otherwise, for the cruise industry, If everyone or a large number of prospective passengers decide to cancel, I think some accommodation should still be made. I took the decision, says the writer, to cancel an upcoming cruise to an area very close to the epicenter because of the concerns about exposure to the COVID-19 on my particular health situation. The reason is too long to go into here, but suffice it to say, the insurance which I bought through the cruise line is not honoring my claim, stating that, quote, it is not eligible for payment as safety concerns regarding travel is not a specified reason under the plan, end of quote. The writer concludes by saying, well, it seems like buying insurance is a waste of time, as in the policy it stated, you can cancel, quote, for any reason. Well, when this particular reason has been put to them, they say, oh no, we can't pay on these terms. That's not good enough. It's not eligible. And you see how people in this country travel all over the place. The person described it as being close to the epicenter. That's close to Wuhan. So Beijing's can be found anywhere. And no, 65 people. The Ministry of Health has now said that between December and now, there are about 65 people who have been quarantined after coming back from China. Note, though, that Barbados has been very calm, and, you know, the panic that has obtained in some other places. I saw somebody coming back from Trinidad, coming back to Trinidad the other day, and there was more hostility to that person than all of them people who come back from ISIS. Down to brass tacks. You're on the air. Hello? You're on the air. Hello? The person who had written earlier about this matter of the sanitation service truck refusing to pick up garbage because of a line on a pole, they say they're writing to let us know that Digicel came and put up the wire on the pole. Well, that was excellent. So they're now wondering if they have to wait until next week to get the garbage collected. So remember, the low-hanging wire was the reason given for the sanitation truck not coming. So now they're saying, now that that has been fixed, we sincerely hope that the people at the Sanitation Service Authority will respond as quickly as possible to the concern which has been raised here. So we talked a lot about this coronavirus and that sort of thing, but I'm sure we're going to have more discussion too on the 11 plus. Question is, what is the next? What's the way forward? Now, I've been around long enough to hear talk about this 11 plus and zoning way back when. Back in the 90s, this was a big issue. It never really went anywhere because the establishment in Barbados, it comes out against it quite a lot. Even the teachers sometimes come out against it. But what really drives the opposition to this is that average people join the fight against it, you know. You know, it's not just the people who went to the older grammar schools, as we call them, but people who have children now and aspire to have their children go there as well. One thing is sure, no matter what be put in place, human beings are competitive. We always must find something that puts us a cut above the rest, or at least make us feel as though we are better than the other people in this way or the other. So what you have to watch is a system that may change, but the built-in elitism will still be maintained, because that is considered very important for giving people something to aspire to. That's how some people see it. What you really want is a system that allows the high flyers to fly and creates more high flyers, creates more people who can actually achieve, but most of all, you have to achieve towards what goal? It is national development. It is what are the things that Barbados must concentrate on. I mean, I can see, for instance, why should Barbados be appearing today to have a shortage of urologists? Can somebody really tell me what has happened over the years to create that? Is it that we don't train them? Or is it that they're trained and they have gone elsewhere? For all that is happening in this country, the number of people who end up with issues, especially those related to the prostate cancer and that sort of thing, we need more. And from all that I hear from people who have to go through that process, it is surprising. But I tie that to the whole concept of trying to create that environment where we produce more people who can serve the national needs. Some of the other comments here, this person says that you should read the fine print on those travel insurance plans. In the view of the person who has written it, most of that information is useless. And another person suggests that they should do some research on the MK Naomi project. And you might have a different opinion about the present virus. I don't know what that project is all about. So you will have to tell me what you're talking about. Good afternoon, David. I am wondering what can be done about people constantly burning stuff every morning. I live downwind of Northumberland, the parish of St. Lucie, and every morning I have to put up with the smoke from people burning. Is there any legal way of dealing with it? Well, I suppose legally you could go and consult a lawyer and see what advice you can get from them on the matter. In many instances, the police in Barbados don't seem to take some of these complaints very seriously. I would put this with the nuisance of kite flying that so many people have to put up with. Good afternoon, down to brass tacks.
Hello, good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I hear that you're good already, so. I didn't call to talk about burning stuff, but it happens up here with me quite often too. Is it legal? Is it illegal? Has it been passed? How is that?
What is that?
About burning stuff, I hear objections to it, but anything passed concerning it being illegal to burn stuff?
I don't know what the law is on it. I really can't speak about any legislation to that effect.
There's so many people complain about it, and still you're not hearing anything properly put in place to deal with it. But that's why people will continue to burn stuff. They don't care who got.
And then there's tacit approval for some things in the country. There are a lot of people who are supposed to enforce the rules and who just say, but were you complaining about, we grew up with that there for years. When I was a child growing up, people used to burn stuff. So
things are quite different now.
What's the big problem?
We get more sourdough, everything, and people getting more inspections all around, so it really should be against the law to do so. I call about the 11 plus. I usually talk to Peter concerning education and so on. And some time ago, I was speaking to him about persons being fearful of their children not excelling and so on. They seem to think that their children can only excel if they go to an older secondary school some persons, but we don't know that children can't if a child is capable, because I heard a gentleman say 2 days ago that any child can learn anywhere. Some children need special attention, so I don't agree with that. Every child cannot learn at the same
rate. That's correct. I think
but
I agree with that point. That
I have 3 children, 2 went to older secondary school, 1 went to Ellerslie, and he did just as good as the other 2 who went to the older secondary school. So I'm saying, right, that Britain has moved on. Lots of people that had this system have moved on. We take everything from America except what is good. And they have from the junior school to high school, you know. So I'm thinking, why not designate? When you leave one school, you're going into higher learning, right? It's always a higher learning, a step up from preschool to primary to secondary, whatever. And I was just thinking, why not change, put all these schools as high schools, right? You're going into higher learning, whether or not you're going to do electrical engineering or whatever, it's a school of higher learning. And persons are scared that, I don't know if they don't want the children that are not what they call so bright with the children at Harrison College. But if they're going to put the children to do special, I don't know if you use the word special, but in their field, the things that they're are good at. There's nothing wrong with that because they will not be really interfering with each other already.
No, I don't even understand what the discussion is about. You just like me. You just shooting in the dark right now about what exactly is being proposed.
Mm.
We don't know. And we can't have a proper conversation until we know that.
Well, I don't know if the ministry said it. But
the ministry has some work to do. I really don't think that you can come and just fly a kite like that and leave
the
people.
No,
there.
I heard someone a little while back say that they will be putting the children at the closest school to them. And persons were objecting to that, but I'm saying it will not interfere with the children that are like flyers, as we like to call them.
I really don't know. It depends upon what is put in place. I can't come to that conclusion, quite honestly.
So how about designating all the secondary schools as high schools?
I really don't know. I have not thought about the full implications of that. I really can't. I haven't. Look, what I do know is that whatever system you put in place, you're going to have people in every school who are going to be high flyers.
Yeah.
And strong performers, and you're going to have weaker children. And the real issue that confronts us is, can we find the resources to look after the needs of those who need special attention?
Yeah.
Extra work, extra attention.
Exactly.
And that extra attention will require that you focus on what's happening in the school, and also what's happening in their homes as well.
Oh, that is why it was coming to.
Yeah, but we have to move on because we're getting closer to the news. Okay, thank you very much. This person says here, looks like somebody who lives abroad. He said, I understand the political decision made by the Prime Minister to go on board the vessel. It was about calming the fears of a population. However, from professional experience, it was an unnecessary risk for the Prime Minister to have been exposed to any threat, real or unconfirmed. Her health experts, political advisors, and security personnel should have convinced her to get the same message across by other means. At the end of the day, the decision was hers. The facts are that the coronavirus is an imminent threat to the entire world. It is a real and present danger to Barbados. The writer goes on to say, I am not au fait with the mechanism of any national emergency plan for this threat, but I am familiar with the basic components of such a plan. To avoid total pandemonium, it is wise for the government to consider educating and preparing the population on what to expect should it become necessary for the state to activate the plan. The plan is not pretty. It is not palatable either, but it saves lives and is designed to enhance the efforts to maintain a stable country. May God bless you all. Now that's a very interesting contribution which we've had there from that writer. Down to brass tacks. Hello? You're on the air.
Hello, David?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, good morning. Good afternoon.
Hi.
I want to make a comment on the urologist talk.
Mm-hmm.
We have a few urologists overseas that are Barbadians. They are very, very good. And I know two of them very well. And they're scared to come back home. I don't want to get into details.
Yeah, I don't need the details here. But the truth of the matter is that if there is one area in this country that one would expect that there could be some kind of action that could open up the door to more urologists, then we need to have it taken.
Yeah, I agree with you. They would like to come back home, I am telling you. But they're scared. I went to Trinidad, and I had a test done by a top urologist in Trinidad. And he said to me, the same thing I said to you, that there are good urologists in the States that would like to come back home, but there's a problem. Do you know that if you go to urologist here in Barbados, and for some reason the urologist has to step out the country for any reason or other, and you happen to get complications, another urologist isn't going to look after you? That's how bad it is. There's no unity.
Wow.
It's sad. And
There are so many issues with respect to healthcare in the country, and that's one. You talked the other day about the hospital, and I saw an excellent editorial which had been written on it as well. But urology, we are in a situation where we could do with more help in this regard, and this is something that the government should be telling us about. You know, it's not just a question that is thrown out there for the sake thereof. Down to brass tacks. Hello. Good afternoon. I suppose I have a caller on the line from Canada. Are you there, sir? Down to brass tacks. 434-1790. That's the number for you to call. We have but a limited time here today because we're going until 1 o'clock. Try to see if we can get that caller on the line.
Miss Ellis?
Yes.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, sir.
I want to congratulate the government, Port Authority, but especially the Marine Department under the leadership of Captain Carl Gonzalez, our master. The night before the ship actually arrived in Barbados, I understand I had some training, and the linesman was well equipped to handle it. I was told that they had on some gloves right up to the shoulder. They were hooded with masks, and they had on a specially designed disposable overalls. You with me?
Yes, I've heard you.
And I think that was very good. But I also want to say this though. I was just wondering if the American government and the British government can use at least two of their floating hospitals. And this is just a little suggestion. If they can use two of their floating hospitals to take people that they suspect with the virus off of these ships and treat them out to sea or quarantine them out to sea until they become better, then you take them off your hospital, the floating hospital, and bring on another set all the way like that. What do you think about that?
Any assistance that you can get in the circumstances would be appreciated. All right? Thank you very much. Some people have interpreted the comments or the question that I raised about the behavior of a member of staff who, not here, but somebody had been talking about some worker who wasn't doing the right thing. And I said that you also have to ask the question why. Now, I know a lot of you have this attitude that as long as you get a behavior that is unacceptable, your first approach is to punish. I don't agree with that approach. I think the first thing I have to do is to ask why something has happened. Because sometimes when you get the answer, you may be surprised that it was something that you never really considered. And you sometimes have to be sympathetic. That person may require counseling. They may require, at times, some kind of action, that a reprimand or something like that. Or it can be even more serious, depending upon what it is. But if you don't begin from trying to understand what has caused the behavior, then you are likely to miss the opportunity to stop it happening again. And the comments that I see here from one or two people, those comments are consistent with the Barbadian attitude and mentality. You know, these are the ones who are always right. They don't make any mistakes. They don't behave badly. They are always right. And therefore, when somebody else is wrong, you must always think of it only from the position of bringing down the hammer. Well, you have to ask the question, is that really working in this country today? I mean, what you see happening right across the board, does it suggest to you that these hard-nosed tactics have been working? For whom? You and your children, perhaps. But you only know, you only can say that if you have the spotlight on those children all the time, because they show you one thing in front of your face. When they leave your home, what do? This is down to brass tacks. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, sir.
Yes.
I am basically calling about the coach buses that are assisting the transport board.
Yes.
All right. So I would have caught one today around, say, 11:30 or so from the Columna Rock area. I got into the coach bus, AC, everything was nice. But however, during the trip, I realized then that I'm asthmatic, and I started to smell smoke. Like if visitors or whatever the case may be were smoking in the bus. So obviously it's AC.
Yeah.
And when you have a vehicle or whatever and you have persons who smoke, it's really, really hard to get rid of the smell. So I am saying that it would be best for those persons who are assisting the transport board to take the vehicle first, to have it cleaned properly before, offering the service to the public, because I am asthmatic and I had to get off the bus even before my stop. And when I got to where I had to use my inhaler. So that's just some advice that I would really like the transport board to take up with those coach buses.
Well, it's good advice, especially in light of the number of people who are suffering from asthma. Indeed, I really wonder whether have we ever had any study on the growth of asthma in Barbados? Because
I think there was a study maybe like 5 years ago or so, but I know for sure it is increasing in numbers. It's just like the other non-communicable diseases that are on the rise right now.
The study hasn't been looking at what has caused it?
No, not as far as I know.
Yeah, because the number of people I hear complaining about asthma in the country has grown considerably. Just anecdotally.
But the thing about it, though, a lot of persons will say, any time that they start to wheeze, the doctor will say, I'm asthmatic or that they are asthmatic. But sometimes that's not the reason. The person, has to have a lung function test or whatever the case may be first to determine if they are asthmatic.
How long has it been the case for you?
I would say as from an adult.
From an adult?
Maybe say, when I was around like 23 or so.
You still sound like 23?
No, I'm not 23.
But the point is, you went through your earlier life without it.
Yes.
Were they able to trace it to any activity, behavior, whatever?
Unfortunately, no. No.
Exposure to people burning stuff? I don't know. What? They have never been able to establish any root cause of it at that age?
Well, I would say that I have a family history of it. So maybe that would be the cause of it. Because once it's in family history, you know, it can predispose you to have it.
How acute is it for you?
Mildly.
Okay. So mildly would do what to you when you get an attack?
I don't wheeze. So my chest would just start to hurt. You know, obviously would have difficulty breathing, so I would have to use my inhaler.
Okay. Well, you've made your plea to the people who are operating the coaches to be a bit more sensitive.
Yes, please.
But on a national level, I certainly hope that we could get a better insight into some of the factors that are causing so many people to come down with asthma in the country. Thanks for calling. Down to brass tacks. It's 12:54. This program finishes at 1 o'clock.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Good afternoon, Mr. Number One.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Good afternoon.
LA,
yes, sir.
I want to ask a question, right?
What's that?
These centers that they have, the quarantine, the people that if anything is to happen,
mm-hmm.
I wonder if it's equipped for people with disabilities.
Well, that's the question that the Ministry of Health should answer. And what when you say equipped for people with disabilities, okay. What so would you be looking for?
Okay, you are a wheelchair, bro. You're going to get a ramp. Remember to have ramps to take you around inside of these places. Like, visually impaired, them go to the bathroom, real there, while walking through the corridors, have to have some air for you to hold on to guide you.
Yes.
Right, that's what I'm thinking about.
Well, that's a reasonable request, because usually when you hear a discussion about what is being put in place, it is often coming across as though they're only looking after the people who are able-bodied.
Okay.
Yes.
But you understand my question.
I do.
Okay, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Leif.
So do you. Now, this person says that they want the Barbados Water Authority, that is, to send a water truck to check a Hall D. They say that they had water yesterday, but as you know, there has been a problem with the pumping station at Allendale and quite a number of areas in the northern districts have been without water, as the Barbados Water Authority has been seeking to rectify the problem there. So we haven't had many calls today for water tankers to the northern districts, but this one is saying, you know, they need some help. But that's it for today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Thank you all for participating, and thanks to Dennis Johnson, the technical operator and producer. I'm David Ellis, and I wish you a really great afternoon and an even better weekend. This is the weekend of AgriFest. Go out there and you come back and tell me next week how good it was.